Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Matthew here. Welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting. I should just say before we begin that obviously this was recorded pre-lockdown. It was recorded PL, backstage at the Flatshare Slamdown, the last Flatshare Slamdown live one that we did, which will be coming out next month, start of next month. So look forward to that. But yeah, just so you know, this was recorded pre-lockdown. If you are looking for extra entertainment during lockdown, can I please recommend Pappy's Flatshare Lockdown? We've been doing these daily episodes. We're having a load of fun doing them. They're over on our Patreon. If you go to our Patreon and pledge $5 a month or above, I mean, that's like £4, I think it is. It's about £4 a month or above. You get a daily episode of something extra from the podcast. And the episodes we've been doing, the Flatshare Lockdowns, have been really, really fun. And we actually just recorded a sexy episode of, I mean, who doesn't want that? A sexy episode of Flatshare Lockdown called Love, Sex, Shagdown, which you have to hear. It's really, really fantastic. So get over to our Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, and we will see you there. In the meantime, enjoy this episode.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew. Hello.
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 We hope this finds you well and happy. We are currently in a basement in a pub.
Yes, we are about to record another one of our fantastic Flatshare Slamdowns.
Our famous Flatshare Slamdowns.
Our famous Flatshare Slamdowns. And do come along to a live recording if you ever get a chance. Also as well, we always say, do join the Patreon, because the Patreon goes from strength to bloody strength.
Look at it as joining a cool, hip group.
Sure, absolutely. Look,
you know
at
what
it,
I mean?
Look at it as joining a cool,
like
hip group.
A cool after-school club.
Absolutely right.
Where everyone has loads of fun.
Yeah. So
and you'll make loads of new friends.
Hop on your skateboard and skate over to patreon.com.
Yeah, enroll. The form's up on the pinboard. Oh, sorry.
I'll give them the actual... Because yeah, no, the riff is very important, Tom.
The riff is important here.
But crucially, if they don't have the address...
The address of the pinboard.
Patreon.com /Pappy's Flatshare.
Yes, and that's outside the art department, isn't it?
Just outside the art department.
The pinboard.
Yeah. We drop a brand new bonus episode. Some really, really funny bonus episodes have come out recently. Every single Thursday, straight in. You can get it like an RSS feed, so you don't have to just go onto the Patreon and listen to it there. You get an RSS feed. It's just like a normal podcast.
Sling it right up your guts.
We sling it right up your RSS feed, guys.
Just chuck it right at you.
If you just get your RSS feed, spread it, face the sun, and then whoomf, up it goes. Do you know what it feels like, actually?
Go on.
I don't know if you've had any of our bonus content, but you know in the like in an old-fashioned bank when they have that tube that they would stick a bit of parchment
in
a container and straight up a pipe, and then it would fire around.
Or like a suppository, a couple of centimetres in, and then...
And then the body takes,
absolutely. The body takes its course.
So all you need to do is give us a mere $5 a month and let your body take its course.
Receive that first 2 centimetres, that's you giving us the $5.
Receive our bonus pods like a little suppos.
The body will do the rest.
And I suppose it's time to start the episode.
Barky, what do we talk about this week?
Oh, we talk about a load of old tut.
It really is an absolute load of old tut. Total fucking nonsense.
Good God.
But I hope you enjoy it, because we certainly do.
Yeah.
And we love you very much, and we'll see you on the... What?
Sorry?
What?
What did you just...
I said we'll see you on the other side.
Oh, no, before...
Oh, hope you enjoyed the episode.
You didn't say anything.
I think that was it. So we hope you enjoyed the episode. I miss you so much. I love you. I can't wait to see you on the other side. That's all right.
Enjoy the episode.
I'm familiar. Can't wait to see you on the other side.
Fucking love you.
Call me.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat. House meeting. What temperature should we set the heat? House meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping? House meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting.
What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Yeah.
What's the vibe, guys?
Have you noticed my...
Oh, no, you've gone for it. Oh, my God.
You're actually wearing... that was the deal.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you already owned a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah, I know.
Just to say now, Tom is wearing a pair of cowboy boots. He's shown up with the full, yeah, the full boot on. Talk us through how you came to be in possession of a pair of cowboy boots.
My friend got married in Texas on a ranch.
Do you know, most of my exes are in Texas.
Oh, really?
It's true. That's not actually true. They're mostly in Bromley and surrounding area. But yeah, so your friend got married in Texas.
And they had a cowboy-themed wedding on a ranch.
Perfect.
So I was good. Dressed as a cowboy. We were all dressed as cowboys.
Themed wedding is a tricky thing to pull off.
Yes.
Well, especially if the theme is like cowboys and you're in the middle of cowboy country.
And everyone there was British. So like, it was a small wedding, about 20 of us. We'd all come over from either Edinburgh or Wolverhampton.
Yes.
And we were all being cowboys surrounded by the staff who were actually from Texas.
An actual, many of them probably actual cowboys.
It was a ranch in Texas. It was quite...
Yeah, and how was, what was the, I mean, I'm sure the vibe was good because it's a wedding and are always strong.
Well, and also the thing, like in Texas, being a cowboy isn't like fancy dress. Like these aren't cowboy boots.
They're made for walking, aren't they?
They're not cowboy boots, they're workman's boots. Like you buy these in a workman's store, you also buy your hat, your Stetsons.
In a workman's store?
People wear them, you're not in fancy dress, it's like you wear them in your truck.
There was no one there who had the sort of the fake legs hanging over a donkey type thing.
No one did that one. The no father was, of the bride
no one had
shows,
the large sombrero with the droopy moustache on or anything like that.
No, the father of the groom, had a sheriff's badge inside his little waistcoat. That
waistcoat's where I'd have it.
Which was a lovely bit of business.
Yeah.
Mariachi band.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever been to a themed wedding?
I don't think I have, actually.
My cousin, Adam, had a Christmas-themed wedding.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
What time of year?
It was fantastic. Well, he wanted to get married on... he got married in 2012, and he got married
Christmas time.
Christmas time, exactly, yeah. Famously, that whole year was themed around Christmas.
It was a good year.
Basically, as soon as the Olympics finished, we were like, well, let's have Christmas now, shall we? So he wanted to get married on the 12th. So he got married.
Is he a Satanist?
He is.
He's double a Satanist.
Together, they are two Satanists as a married couple. But so they decided to get married in December on like a Wednesday or something, whatever, just so they had the nice date of it saying 12, right. 12, 12 on the invite. And then they had
on the invite. I've had 1-2-1-2. You know, you 1-2.
Oh,
that's good.
Stuff, actually,
testing 1-2-1-2-1-2. they their first dance was All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Great.
We had good. Christmas dinner for the wedding reception.
This is really good.
They played the Bublé Christmas album while that was happening. It was great. It was great fun.
I really like that.
It was absolutely perfect. Photos were a nightmare because it was freezing.
Vicar dressed as Santa? Too much.
Vicar, I wasn't there in the ceremony. I didn't go to the ceremony. I was just in the...
evening guest.
Evening do.
Well, it wasn't evening. It was like the ceremony happened with maybe like 15 people. And then at 3 o'clock, everybody went...
afterwards.
Which actually, you know what? Who gives a fuck about the ceremony?
No, who gives a fuck about the wedding?
Who gives a fuck about the wedding part of the wedding? Everybody wants the food part, the booze part, the drink part. That's what you want in a wedding. That's what you're after.
Yes.
I mean, I suppose... You know, you had Cornish pasties at your wedding.
That's true. There was kind of a...
It wasn't full-on...
Southwest theme.
Southwest country theme.
There was flavours.
There was flavours.
Because that's what I was just thinking.
Specifically cheese and onion.
There was one flavour.
There was one flavour. It was cheese and onion pasty with some lovely cheese and lovely onions as well. So with a lovely, cheese and onion pasty with a cheese and onion chaser. And you know what? It hit the spot.
Washed down with a lovely pint of cheese and onion.
A gorgeous pint of cheese and onion.
A wedding quiche? Oh, I'd love to have had a wedding quiche, actually.
Oh, a sort of multi-tiered Ooh. Wedding quiche.
Yes, please.
Yes, Ooh. Please. Because that's like, the people do the cheese, the sort of tiered cheesecake.
Yes.
Not cheese, but tiered just wheels of cheese.
Wheels yeah. of cheese, yeah.
Do you know what? People enjoy a quiche, don't they?
They do no, enjoy I mean, a quiche.
Wedding cake, sure, they look nice, but no one gives a fuck about eating
it.
The wedding cake.
No,
you know?
No one never have it.
Get yourself a quiche. Everybody likes a bit of quiche.
Wedding cakes feel like they're always for other people. Like, no, I don't know.
Because you only got married once. Yeah. So most of the wedding cakes you've seen, most of the wedding cakes you've seen, Parry, have been for other people.
It's because you always get told off for cutting it early.
They're always for the bride and the groom.
When you go to someone else's wedding, cut the cake and squish it into your own face.
Do you know what?
Makes for a lovely photo, certainly, sure, but...
I'll tell you a great idea.
Yes, go on, I love an idea.
Every wedding you go to, take a little miniature of yourself, pop it on top of the cake between the bride and groom as a little gag.
What's the subtext of that? Let's chase that idea down.
And you'd be like kind of going,
guess
like,
what?
Like in a kind I'm of photo bombing, a photo bombing kind of
a photo bombing. Sure. That's
rather yeah, that's, than a throuple.
That's what it does. Or it should have been me. You know, if you put yes. yourself in there and knock one of them over.
Okay, now what if it's like arms round, you know, like it's like you're in an you arms round position. You kind
you're
of
gonna make.
Oh,
like,
I'll tell you what, it should be Tom up on shoulders.
Oh yeah, there you go. Although,
are you going to, Tom's there, has he got the groom on his shoulders and the bride on...
The groom's shoulders.
The bride on the groom's shoulders, yeah.
A wedding totem.
Yeah.
A wedding totem's
a nice... Wedding totem's a nice tradition to bring in.
Totem poles have really fallen out of favour, haven't they?
Well, I tell you what, Tom, I think you may
back
be
in the day.
I know you're wearing cowboy boots. I know, that does sound like the sort of thing a cowboy booted guy would say.
Yeah,
but
proudly.
I don't think
we got rid of them.
We got rid of them down.
I don't think that's I mean,
when you're a kid, they seem to play a bigger part in your day to day.
Yeah,
I think they would often be. They'd often be a totem pole in, say, an adventure playground.
Yes, absolutely.
The adventure, you know, the adventure playground. One of the adventures might be walking past a totem pole. What an adventure.
What
is the adventure of an adventure playground apart from wood chippings? What's the actual adventure?
Well, it's thanks to the wood chippings that you can have the adventure.
Because if you fall and you land on the concrete...
The wood chippings say, go for your fucking guns here. That's what the wood chippings say.
Go for your guns. This is softer by a tiny amount than gravel.
Oh, I read a thing today, though, speaking of this.
What?
I did, yeah.
Did you?
I read a thing today.
Should you read Wood Chipper Monthly?
I was reading this. Now, this is a horrible story.
Uh-oh.
But it's about... Did you read about this? The guy who tried to bump off his wife by cutting the cables of her parachute?
Yes.
Did you read about this thing?
Yes.
Whoa. Now, what I didn't realise
was he in the army?
He was in the army, yeah, that's right. Now, what I didn't realise about this is that... I'm sorry, I don't know why I've got a giggle in my voice because it's not a funny story.
Oh dear.
It's not a funny story, but she survived the 4,000 foot drop.
Whoa.
Because, and they said it I was reading on the BBC News website, because she landed in a recently ploughed field.
I've heard about that in the past.
A recently ploughed field.
I've heard of people surviving.
Here's the thing, if you land on water off a bridge, you die.
Yeah.
So how
yeah.
do you go from a plane to the ground, the earth, the sod?
The recently ploughed sod.
The recently... I'll give you that. The recently ploughed sod.
Lucky old sod.
That guy's got a real spring in his step.
That sod's got recently ploughed. How do you manage that?
It seems to completely beg a belief, but...
I don't think she hopped up, dusted herself off and said, sorry about those carrots, but I think... She's alive to tell the tale.
And you're probably landing on your legs are going to take the brunt, aren't they? I think when you from bridge to water, you're kind of head.
Yeah, she's 2 foot shorter now.
The legs are still in the recently ploughed field. Water them, and they will grow.
But yeah, so because when I was when I was at school, the PE teacher used to spray a hose onto the pool. You know, like if you want to jump
to break the water.
To break the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, isn't that sort of nature's way of saying don't jump off the high diving board? I mean, I know the high diving board isn't naturally occurring, but if you have to,
You spray. I didn't spray the water to break the.
He had a hose.
Yeah,
you stand on the edge of
tension.
Does that help?
Yeah. It's basically like recently plowing the
plowing the water.
He was plowing the water. He was plowing the water.
He
plowed on the year nine, so that was a problem. But no, he would stand there and. Should have gone later, shouldn't I?
Yeah, nothing wrong with year 11 there.
Should have gone with year 11 there. I mean there's everything wrong with year 11.
Right. I'm just going to go make a few phone calls.
I tell you, you could spray the tension with a hose in here.
Hang on, are you saying you spray the top of a water of a swimming pool? And
what?
It makes
the
it
top, yeah the top of the water
and it makes it
try
less,
spraying any yeah. other bit of the water
it
and you have a real duff job
on
your hands
yeah
yeah, it's, yeah it breaks fact, the surface tension
they
yeah.
have it on diving competitions they have like a water kind of jet just kind of naturally not naturally but firing out to I'm sure they do
yeah and so it breaks the do surface they? Tension so yeah, it means I'm that when you sure. hit the water you're not hitting it like because apparently if you know say you jumped in the first thing and it just been left overnight especially if it was
ice.
Freezing cold.
Yeah.
You jump in
about
and
ice
it's
here.
Like hitting a block of concrete. Let me tell you
You'd
that.
Spray that rink with a...
I've never
heard that before.
Have you not?
No, that's the angle I'm going for. I'm not going for I don't believe you. No, that's a very... That shows, I think a maturity.
I think you believe that it happens. I don't think you believe it does anything.
Yeah.
Oh, you think people do it, but it's like it's
madness.
I think it's snake oil.
It's belt and braces on a pair of tight trousers. Doesn't need to be done at all.
Absolutely.
Well,
I don't think they do it in diving competitions. And I think if you don't, for example, in Crystal Palace swimming baths.
Yeah.
That's where they all practice their diving.
It's an Olympic sized pool.
And it's
yeah.
like you've got people training for the Olympics there and diving teams, and it's like they're not doing it there. I don't want to say that it's not true.
Can I just say?
I don't want to say that
because I wasn't actually taking part in the diving. I didn't want to. I found it too scary. I was actually sat on the seats watching him, and I could only see him from behind. So maybe it wasn't a hose. maybe it wasn't a hose.
How high? What's your how are you off the high diving boards?
Oh no,
No.
If I go on holiday and there's like a you know the sea and a high rock and people are all jumping off it, I'm not doing that either.
Are you?
That's really scary though.
But even if like sort of,
are you a run and bomb in the you know knees up to your chest kind of guy?
Knees up to my chest before I even get into the pool.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just roll.
I'm sat in the car park, knees up to my chest going, don't get me near the water. Right. I've never, hang on a sec, let's go through it. I've never ducked. I've never dived. I've never bombed.
What?
And I've never heavy petted.
Hold on.
Obey the rules.
You've never kissed a girl.
not under the water.
In the swimming pool.
No, I've kissed girls and
did you like it?
Well, I'll tell you my exes. They're scattered all around Texas. Speak to them.
House meeting. Is having subtitles on a forum film cheating? House meeting.
Clarkie, have you ducked?
What is ducking?
Forcing someone's head under the water.
Yeah, probably.
You did. You recently plowed sod. So you ducked, yeah?
Yeah. And you'll duck again.
I'll duck again. Oh, too right. Yeah. What else is on the list?
Diving.
Of course.
A little bit of diving.
Bombing.
100%. Bombing. And heavy petting.
I don't think so. Not on the public pools.
Have you ever salmoned into the pool?
Whoa, what's
as
that?
As a fan of Love
isn't
Island.
Isn't that when you salmon out of a pool? Isn't that
like
firing it like
that's,
a salmon?
But that's what they do. No, they do it into the pool. So
the idea of salmoning out of the pool. That's better. You get out of the pool just by and then just straight onto the side of your chest.
Really impressive if you can do it. But yeah, so no, they would...
Straight onto the side to be eaten by a brown bear.
You'd John West salmon out the pool. Clarky's just John West out of the pool. If they get good news on Love Island, all the guys and girls throw off their microphones and salmon into the pool, which is like they leap into the air sideways and they make their body straight and they sort of flip their body around like a salmon about to hit the water. They salmon into the pool. So, you ever done that?
Nope.
Worth an ask. Parry, I assume you've done the full gamut of the
I think I've done the four, yeah.
Yeah, you've done them all.
Of course
all.
You have.
Yeah.
You absolute beast.
Yes. Yeah.
He must have dived into a pool.
Crosby?
Bombed a few gigs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know.
Heavy petted at a few gigs. You've done them all at the gigs.
Oh, absolutely. I've ducked.
You're ducking and diving.
A bit of ducking and diving to start off. Then I start to bomb. Quick bit of audience interaction and I'm ejected from the venue. yeah, but do go and see Tom's solo show.
Advertised three times probably during the course of this podcast.
I think it's about time we put in an advert for your Soho show. It's certainly.
Soho show, Tom.
Can I just say. I think this is going on April the 14th, so it will have passed. But at the same time, Tom.
We're not going to stop advertising for it, though.
We're never going to stop advertising your Soho run. Are you going to take it out on tour? I hear you're doing leisure centres, a tour of leisure centres.
That's what I'm getting towards, yes.
Oh, my God, we did. Do you remember when we did a gig in a swimming pool?
Yes, that was regrettable.
How did that play? I don't think I made that one.
Right, now, I've got a couple of memories of it.
Go ahead.
The first one was...
Clarky salmoning in to make his entrance.
The first one was that I got changed into my trunks... And because it was that was the noise of me getting. Yeah. No. I got changed into my trunks. And because it was pre-gig, I thought, shall I get some beers in? Was that what you were going to remember?
Oh, no, that wasn't.
So I went into the bar. But like I sort of hadn't gone.
The bar.
Of the hotel, of the place right. that had a. So, yeah, so right. it was a swimming pool in a. So it was like the spa bit of a hotel,
right?
That
okay.
would be turned into an Edinburgh venue.
Yes,
and
so I'm picturing automatically quite a small swimming pool. The hotel swimming pools are always really weird size.
It wasn't tiny.
No,
it was. I would say it was like maybe like 10-15 meters.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was big-ish. Small audience.
Yeah.
Small audience there. So then I wandered into the.
Did they know that there was going to be a gig?
I think the people doing acro aerobics were a little put out.
Right.
But no, I wandered into the bar and then immediately I was like, oh yeah, I'm in my trunks in the bar.
Mm.
But I'd walked into the bar by that point. So I ordered the drinks and sort of just sat at the bar.
Just in your trunks?
Just in my trunks, sort of quite casual. And then the manager came over and said, hi, yeah, you can't be in the bar in just your trunks. And I said, I've just ordered some drinks. He went, well, I'll let you get the drinks and then you have to leave and go back to the swimming pool. And what he didn't realise is I basically ordered them for all of the acts. So that I then had like a massive tray of drinks and I walked back into the gig. But in the time it had taken me to order the drinks and get the drinks, everything, the gig had started. So I walked in through the double doors with a big tray of drinks and the gig basically just stopped. And they sort of looked at me and I had to just sort of sit down and hand out the drinks and everything. It was pretty awkward stuff. Yeah, it was pretty...
It's one of those ones where it felt like, oh, this is going to be like crazy and loads of fun and there's going to be like a real atmosphere because it's like, oh, it's all bizarre. But actually, yeah, it was
That's
just...
never the case, is it?
No.
Let's be honest. A gig anywhere else that isn't just a decently set up gig,
yeah,
it's not going to end well.
And a problem we've
had... We've gigged all over the shop, haven't we? A library...
Yeah, a museum.
But also as well, we should say we were in the pool for the gig. We were in the pool. The audience was sat on the side, and we decided to when we were doing the sketches, instead of going off stage to go under the water.
Yeah,
do you remember that as well?
I do remember that. That was my abiding memory of
just like, being under the water and kind of hoping you could hear enough for what the cue was going to be.
Yeah,
and hoping you didn't run
thinking
out of oxygen.
That was going to be really funny, and actually.
Well, it wasn't because you just bobbed up and you're out of breath, and no one really sort of acknowledged that was what was going on because they were sort of watching, trying to hear you as well. The other thing you realise is the acoustics in a swimming pool, they're not great.
Well, I tell you what, it's a surface tension. If you've got a hose,
this is it. I was trying to.
You guys were sat on top of the water, weren't you? Waiting for someone to come along with a hose so you could fall under it.
We were sat on top of the water, waiting for it to thaw out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just solid water. It was.
But anyway, not a strong gig. Not our finest hour. But yeah, we've gigged all over the place, and it's never as much fun as gigging in a comedy club.
Yes.
Or a theatre.
Exactly right. Gigs in odd places, it always feels like we're going to do something crazy.
But also as well, everybody who comes on, like, you know, occasionally you can do a bit of funny stuff about the room, but if everyone's in a swimming pool, all the material's sort of gone, isn't it? The weirdness of the gig has been acknowledged by everyone in the audience anyway. You're not pointing it out to them. You're not going, oh, look, this is a bit strange, isn't it? We're in a swimming pool. Everyone goes, yeah, it's in a... It's in a swimming pool.
It was our friend's venue, wasn't it? We're like, there was another sketch group were in there.
That's right, the Diet of Worms.
Yeah, they all got like ear infections and stuff.
Yeah, because they performed their entire hour-long show every day from the swimming pool.
Yeah. Poor things.
Poor things.
Poor loves.
Poor loves.
Oof. It's no good.
It's no good. Sketch comedy is a strange old world, isn't it, really? I kind of forget. I was thinking back yesterday, I think, about a couple... Like the thing of like going out to do sketches and stuff, and I thought, God, I've kind of forgotten that's what we used to do.
Funnily enough, I had a real abiding memory of it, like yesterday as well. Like, so I was going up to a gate, and just thinking, just remember lugging the massive bag of props when you were the unlucky one who had to take this absolutely gargantuan bag across London.
And also when everyone else is, you know, they've finished their sets, they've you know, they're down in the bar, they're having a drink, you're still there sort of scrabbling around on the floor going, well, there's a leather glove here somewhere that has been thrown into the sky,
yeah,
you know, with delightful carefree abandon, and now all three of us are on our hands and knees going, right, where the fuck is this stupid leather glove? Because if we don't have it, we've got a gig tomorrow night and we can't do that gig.
In fact, that's where I got my memory from. The story I was telling that I remembered was we used to have a sketch, the Morris dancing sketch, didn't we? It was pre-2012, and we'd Morris dance for quite a long time.
We'd open gigs by Morris dancing.
And making it like really long, because then the idea is it's funny, then it would get unfunny, then it'd get funny again. And then we always knew we had the punchline, which was... Hold up the sign.
Olympics 2012,
and one of us would say worst opening ceremony ever.
Because there was a lot of worry about whether or not the Olympic opening ceremony was going to be any good. Could Britain pull it off? Of course, we didn't know what Danny Boyle had up his sleeve. What a guy! Didn't know Branagh was there.
Lots of freshly ploughed fields.
Seen the stovepipe hats being delivered.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. The stovepipe hats bit was the bit. You're a bit worried when the stovepipe hat was going on.
It was a bump in the road, that bit, yeah.
Like, the stovepipe hat bit, you're like, is this going to be okay? Because if it's this for an hour...
If it's all stovepipe hats...
If it's full stovepipe...
If they haven't checked the calendar and don't realise it's 2012...
Yeah.
And not 1812. And if they based it all around stovepipe hats, we're in trouble here.
If Danny Boyle's gone in and just gone like...
If Lincoln shows up...
It's like this is...
Then we need John Wilkes Booth to show up pretty fucking sharpish.
It's a stovepipe hat parade.
It's a stovepipe hat. It's a stovepipe hat.
Think of your favourite stovepipe hat wearers. I can't say it. Stovepipe hats.
Stovepipe hat.
Stovepipe hat.
Stovepipe hat.
My favourite stovepipe hat wearers. Well, there's two. I can't think of any others.
Come on.
Well, Lincoln. Abe. Honest Abe himself.
Yeah.
I.K. Brunel.
Of course.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Bosch. Branagh.
Of course, Branagh. But yeah, so you saw a stovepipe hat and you thought it took you back to the Olympics.
No.
I lost sight of the story there slightly. Thank you very much for bringing me back up to speed there, because I know that wasn't what you were telling
us. You disappeared down a real wormhole.
It really went down the stovepipe hat. Because I was thinking, you've got the cowboy boots. Maybe I get myself a stovepipe hat.
Okay.
Maybe. So you want to like bump up your size. You're not going for the heels, you're going for the head.
I'm going to bump the size up and going the other way.
Clarky,
exactly,
you
right.
need to pick another method to improve your height.
Oh no, a really long belt?
Are you going to hang yourself? I will stretch you out, certainly.
Yeah.
House meeting.
Can I get this pizza delivered to an eating?
House meeting.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, the thing I remember is us going out and doing the dance, and us Morris dancing, and then Morris dancing, and then, Clarky coming up to me and being like, "We haven't got the sign," and then having to dance over to you and be like, "We haven't got the sign," We all just realised that we were just Morris dancing.
Yeah, so we all got the giggles.
We're sort of 2 minutes into a 4 minute long Morris dance, and we're all
without
giggling.
The sign,
and
we know there's no end to the sketch.
No punchline.
And also, I think that might have been one of those ones where it was a bit of a convincer. You know, we were doing it and we didn't quite have the audience on side, and you know, they weren't necessarily. Sometimes you come out and the Morris dancing starts and people go, "Oh, fine, this will be silly." But other times they're not quite on side.
No, and we knew these guys.
By simply ending the Morris dance and saying good evening, we're not easy next 25 minutes.
And we've already got the giggles. So we're thinking, like, we're looking like to the crowd, these guys think this is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. That makes it even worse.
So we're just like Morris dance. And then we just finished and kind of went, ta-da.
Okay, welcome, so anyway. Everybody. Inevitably, one of us might have said what normally happens here, and then that's even worse.
Yeah.
But two other memories of the Morris dancing.
And a memory of
the Morris dancing sketch.
Yes.
One of my favourites was Chorley Little Theatre when I went off the stage, do you remember? And you had to catch me. I danced off the edge of the stage and you grabbed me by the arm and pulled me back up. Yeah. A near miss, however. However, the
coup d'etat.
The second story.
The piece...
Was Clarky. Now you
At the Lyric Hammersmith.
Big gig, baby. Nice big theatre there. Probably 400, 500 people in the audience.
A shiny floor.
A well waxed floor.
And I believe
No one had broke the surface with a hose.
No one had broke the surface.
It was perilous.
I think
broke it with my elbow instead.
I think we may have even done a sketch where we'd squirted water all over the place before we'd started the gig.
Sounds like us.
And just you, like, you went from
standing
completely on the ground so fast.
Yeah, God,
it was a real delight.
It was really good.
It was really, and also again, I think what probably happened there is the audience went ooh, and myself and Parry just started cracking up laughing.
Yeah, I think I did too. Actually.
Did you go face first as well? Did you go chin first?
I went like side down, but it was like there was nothing hit the floor before my entire body hit the floor. Yeah. It wasn't like a knee and then a hand, and then it was just like I'm entirely upright, I'm entirely parallel.
Yes.
Wham. Which I think actually is like a good way to fall.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if it is.
Because you spread the impact.
I suppose it didn't give you a chance to tense your body. Because that's what they say, isn't it? Like, if somebody's drunk, they'll often not injure themselves because they're
falling onto a freshly played field.
Exactly, falling onto a freshly played field.
They're so drunk, they've strayed into farming territory.
They've just packed a normal rucksack instead of a parachute. And when they go to pull the string, whoomp, down they go. But luckily, a freshly ploughed field, and they're just out there with the lovely sunflowers.
So you're saying if you don't break your fall, that's the best way to fall?
Because
it's a controversial tactic.
Well, here's the thing, right? When you do like when you do guys, when you do jiu-jitsu, like,
now we're talking.
Here we go.
To a very exciting part in the show where Clarky gives us some tips from the dojo. Here we go, Clarky's dojo.
The way to fall there was never to put your hand down.
Yep, because you break your wrist. Yeah.
you can really hurt yourself.
Yes.
Or someone could tread on your hand.
Down and to slap the mat with your full arm.
But crucially, there's a mat, isn't there?
Oh, there's a mat.
That's an important factor.
Well, there's mat or there's wood chippings.
You been to Jiu-Jitsu Week in the Adventure Playground again? You know there's been complaints about
you
that.
You know the kids are the only people I can beat.
Clark is the cool kid in the Adventure Playground. Who will fight me?
With his black belt. He's a very big black belt to try and improve my size somehow. I don't know.
It's not so much a black belt as a black girdle you're wearing, isn't it? It's more like a
that
corset.
Girdle, man?
Who is that recently ploughed field? So what you do is you fall down and you slap the mat to sort of spread out the surface area.
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
Yeah.
That's the same in wrestling as well, to give the effect of big impact on the ground.
Oh, I yes. see. Yeah, to make the noise
but
as well.
Does actually help, yeah. But again, it's a sprung
it,
so
it takes,
floor.
It takes the impact off of you.
It does help.
Takes the impact off of you, puts yeah. the puts makes it a big sound.
I don't think the advice, if you fall on concrete, hit the concrete,
but
may work.
But I think maybe not hit it, but I do think of like, it's going to be better than
not
some,
hitting
it. In some circumstances, better than putting your arm out. And better than putting an elbow out, that kind of thing.
Well,
there you go.
If you're going down hard,
if you're going
go down,
down
really
go down
hard.
Full.
If you're going, yeah, if you're going down
flat,
go down completely. If you're going down, go down, down, as Mickey Flanagan would say.
Yes.
Or was it status quo? One of the two. But speaking of falling.
Oh yeah.
My sister at we're all out of that nightclub. Do you remember we used to go to the nightclub after we do our Pappy shows? And I saw my sister fall, and rather than rescue herself, rescued the wine glass, which is the
legend.
Classic drunk fall, isn't it? Where
yeah.
she was like, right, I'm going down again. You know, it was a sort of student-y nightclub, slippery floors. She saw she was going down, and the wine glass went above the head first, and then the rest of her went down.
Yeah.
And she had a chin bruise for,
oh.
yeah, she had a chin bruise that actually genuinely made her look like Abraham Lincoln. Because
yes.
she had the Abraham Lincoln chin bruise. The entire chin got bruised because she took
saved
it.
Saved her
chin,
wine.
But she saved the Pinot Gris. So, you know, wow. It's all right. And also, she emancipated the wine, yeah. And lay herself down, for so others may live. We bought her a stovepipe hat as well, and she actually made quite a good living as a tribute act to Abe Lincoln. Not many nightclubs have them.
No,
the Abe Lincoln tribute act, but the ones that do get a really nice crowd. Yeah, a bloke Tony from Hollyoaks DJs for a little bit, then they bring out Abraham Lincoln. It's quite a confused night, actually.
It does sound quite confused.
It sounds quite confused, doesn't it?
It'd be good to have a highlight reel of great falls in your life. Do you think? Like to cheer everyone up. Kind of
yeah.
like if you could like you know like if your life flashes before your eyes, but it's only the times that you've fallen over.
So it looks like an episode of You've Been Framed.
Yeah. And it's
yeah.
kind of like, here you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm basing this on the success of Del Boy falling through the bar. I'm just thinking.
We've all done it.
Do you think when Del Boy passes away, I mean David Jason, obviously no Del Boy's not a real person. Do you think when he passes away,
is Del Boy still alive?
Oh, that's a really good question. Is Del Boy still alive? I'd assume so.
They haven't ever done that. Where he's gone, have they?
No, they didn't. They didn't end it by him falling through the bar into a volcano.
I thought it was a freshly ploughed field.
No, I think Del Boy. Yeah.
That would be an audacious way to kill off Del Boy.
What, he falls into a volcano?
Well, they reenact the falling through the bar, but it's fatal.
He broke his
they've
leg.
Got they've got the cellar open, so he tumbles into the bar and he tumbles all the way to the cellar, and he knocks over a load of kegs and they just roll on top of him.
Yeah.
Oh mate, what a way to go! That, you know what? There's nothing lovely jubbly about that.
No.
So it's absolutely awful, awful way to go. If you're going to kill off the Vicar of Dibley,
she eats too many dinners.
Yeah, she goes, one too many dinners that day. Or
the Vince Vaughn way.
Or she jumps into
a puddle.
Puddle,
that's much better.
And it's much, much deeper than she realised.
It's lava.
And she jumps into
volcano.
She jumps into a volcano.
Basically, the series is sitcom. Yeah, sitcom characters recreate their main trick, but it's out of volcano.
Yes.
So it always turns out it's fatal.
Is this going to be like our version of jumping the shark, but falling into a volcano?
It's Miranda. But she's at a volcano.
Yeah,
she's fallen over.
Yep.
Oh no,
Miranda. She loves a funny fall.
She loves a prat
fall. She loves a funny fall. She's going up the stairs of her joke shop. She tumbles down, and unfortunately. originally, what she doesn't realise is her joke was built on an active volcano. So yeah, so volcano death for poor old Miranda.
It's a real shame.
Who else have we got? Who else? The other classic. René Artois from Alone.
Yeah.
Just when you think he's escaped from the Nazis, he falls into a volcano.
And of course,
I haven't really thought too hard about that.
Some
one.
Of us do
to...
have him. Famously, roller skates up the volcano.
Roller skates.
And you know, he did all of his own stunts. He did that himself.
I tell you what, the shortest episode of Mr. Bean I ever saw. A spotlight appears. Unfortunately, it's over an active volcano. straight down. Credits roll.
Mercifully short. Mercifully short episode of Mr. Bean.
A mercifully short episode of Mr. Bean. The Right Way. David Haig has gone to risk assess a volcano and he trips and falls, tumbles.
I can't believe, by the way, we haven't done the big one here.
No.
Bad Alts.
That
classic scene where
Parry trips over his cowboy boots, falls into the volcano. Crosby has the stovepipe over his eyes, falls into the volcano.
I tumble in.
And Clarky hangs himself. 5 miles away from the volcano.
So the final shot is just there's a pair of boots sticking out the top of the volcano. I've got a glass of wine above my head in tribute to my sister, and then Clarkie's feet are just swinging gently in the breeze, and credits roll. That's what gets us a recommission.
Yeah, credits roll, and then slow crossfade to a field of poppies. Audacious.
An audacious ending to this. Now,
oh my God, I think just such a funny thing to do at the end of the last episode of Battles.
We really should have done that.
We just suddenly come over the top, just completely out of nowhere.
I wish we'd...
I haven't heard that at all.
Crossfade to a field of poppies would have been...
To be fair... Hope was springing a little more eternal in our hearts when we made that final episode, not realising it was the final episode.
No, although I think it served as a final episode as well. You know, like we do. Yeah. The way it ended was like, it felt final to me.
I mean, I can't remember it, but yeah.
Oh, yes, I do remember it. It was we all fell into a volcano, didn't we? Which I think served for us.
We crossfaded to a field of volcanoes.
Well, there was a story.
And then you parachuted down into.
How did that work out? Clarky, mate.
How on earth?
You can't crossfade and parachute in.
Not in a studio. Single camera, of course, for your boots.
Absolutely. And in a comedy drama, you could definitely do that.
Oh, of course.
If this was Succession, you would definitely have.
Well, if Battles was made nowadays, it would have been a comedy drama. And let's not forget that.
Yes, let's not forget.
Let's not forget.
It would have been a comedy drama. I don't know how you would have got fewer laughs into it, but... No, because there was talk about, I think it was the sitcom Suddenly Susan, that they wanted, when they knew they'd been cancelled, they wanted for... like a mysterious figure to come in and get Susan, the central character, and take her into a lift and take her like down to a basement, and then the doors would open and it would be all of these characters from cancelled sitcoms, and they'd be like, this is where you live now. You now live with, you know, the cast of, you know,
Bad Alts,
for example. I mean, I don't think we would have got the call up for that. I was going to go Charles in Charge, but something like that, you know. Yeah. But yeah, the audacity of... It's a bit like the end of The Hills. Did you watch The Hills?
No.
It was like the first ever kind of structured reality show. And at the end of it, they were like, cut. And then all the cameramen came over and like shook their hands and was like, great take, guys, and stuff like, to be like, it was all structured reality,
It was all a dream.
It was all a dream. And then, of course, they were just, by the way, just avoid that to active on.
Then, how's this podcast going to end? You know, like when we... we could do?
How is this episode going to end?
No, not this episode. Like when we find out we've been cancelled.
When Acast get in touch and say, sorry, guys.
Yeah. How would you do that with the podcast? So like, what would be like a way of like... Do you pan out and we really do live together?
I can't pan out with the podcast, yeah.
think, oh, I know. I think we're in the same.
No, I've got it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay,
the listener stops listening. We go, that's our final episode, guys. And then the listener just presses stop and then looks up and we're in the room with them. And we say, bye.
We say, cheers, everyone. Bye.
But like, we're right there.
Yeah.
But we have to just do that to every listener.
Wait, no. I think this
Which
is
I
what
think
we
by
have
the
to
time
do.
We get cancelled, we'll be about 8 people. So that's fine. I think that's doable.
Yeah. They turn up. Well, we're almost there.
Yeah.
They turn it off. We climb out of their ears.
That's the one.
That's exactly it. Like the numbskulls. At the end of it, they take out their headphones and we go, whew, now we can finally get out. And we clamber down their shoulder,
yeah,
across their arm, through a field,
into an active volcano.
Blackouts.
Volcano erupts.
We're back out again.
Welcome back to Flat Slam.
House meeting.
Can I have a lift? I live in the need.
House meeting.
Whoa, baby.
Whoa, baby.
Whoa, baby.
Whoa, baby.
What a lovely episode.
Whoa, baby.
Done and dusted. Tick another one off the list.
Lovely stuff. Another one from those four lovable lads, Pappies.
Caution team, of
Hold
course.
Tight. Yeah, no, it's all. Yeah. So,
Crosby's counting himself and his stovepipe hat. Very much the fourth member of the group.
Very much so. So find us on Facebook.
Please find us on Twitter.
Find us on Instagram. Follow us. Leave us a review on iTunes.
Five
stars would be great.
That'd
yeah.
be lovely. Don't fuck around with four stars.
Don't fuck around with
iTunes.
Four stars. Please don't fuck around. And also, of course, we can't stress this enough. Do not fuck around. See you very soon, folks.
See you very soon.
I love you very much.
Pardon?
And what?
Hey?
What happened?
Was that something?
No, I just said, I'll see you soon, folks. Come to our gigs. I adore you. You're my angel. You're my sweetness. You're my light.
No, hang on.
What's going on?
This
here?
Episode, as ever, was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team!
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Oh, will you please be upstanding for this week's Neighbourhood Watch roll call?
Nah, piss off, bruv.
Oh.
Yeah, piss off. I ain't doing no roll call. Up yours, copper.
Oh, my God. It's the sound of counterculture.
That's right. Punk rock forever.
You can't say that on the BBC.
What? Listen. Right, you total tosspots. I ain't doing no roll call because I am an antichrister.
Please. Please.
Okay, all right, I will. Yeah, all right. You know, you've talked me round. Okay.
Whatever you do, don't be rude because we're on the BBC. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's not be rude on the BBC. I trust you.
Oh, what? No. What?
Got you again. All right. Let's. Here we go. Right. Fuck, this name's an hard one. All right, here we go. Let's do this. Yeah. Oh, up yours. Please. Up your... Oi, bondage, up yours.
What?
Right, listen up, you twats. I'm going to tell you...
Please.
I'm going to tell you about this...
Yeah, go on, bruv.
You're not going to believe it.
Oh,
right?
No, please.
Tell him all about him.
That's
not
right.
The BBC, please.
Brothers, this guy is an absolute rebel. He's always gobbing everywhere. He's always smashing up his guitar and he's always kicking the drummer in the nutsack. That's how bad he is. He's a bad boy. Rocker.
Please,
he's a bad
please.
Naughty boy.
I apologize for the use of the word nutsack.
He's a real tosspot, this guy. But you know what?
What?
He's
yes.
a punk rocker through and through. And I won't hear a... Jesus Christ, I'm nowhere close to a rhyme. I won't hear a word. I won't hear a word against him. He is a punk rock pioneer. You know what? The other day, I said to him, oi, mate, where are you... How come you... Fucking hell.
I can only apologise for this man's language. He's clearly got a lot going on. This punk, he's got a lot going on.
Oh, I've lost it. I've absolutely lost it. Right, okay, yeah. If you'll accept going on, I'll accept going on. All right.
Yes, yes.
This guy's got a lot going on. His name is Robert Norrington. Oh. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on, yes.
Yeah.
Now listen up, you little rotters.
Yeah,
you scumbags. Now you listen here. Oh, I want to say something. I've rubbed my knob on Prince Charles. Yeah, oh, that's right.
And I did it
in front of my friend, and he was laughing so hard his head was lolling. Yeah. Oh, and then he threw a piece of shit at the Queen, and his name is Colin.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Right, Colin.
Oh, no. Well, my mate, yeah.
Oh, no.
He went to Buckingham Palace.
Yeah,
thank God. Finally,
some Buckingham Palace.
Right? Good God, God save the Queen. Yes, the BBC.
He grabbed a Union Jack.
Right. No, what?
He threw on the floor. He threw it on the floor.
No.
He threw it on the floor.
It's the worst place to put the flag.
And then he just stepped on it. Yeah.
No.
Treading all over it.
Wow,
it's only the jack if it's on a boat.
Make a very good point. Otherwise, it's the Union flag.
Oh, yeah. Please, oh God. No.
I apologise, actually.
Finally.
Yeah, he's on that Union flag. He's just standing on it. He's just standing on it.
No.
Just stand on
the flag. No. Please don't on the flag stand on.
Thanks for that. Yeah, on the flag you stand on. Who was it? It was Bob Sandon.
Oh, nice one, Bob Sandon.
We apologise to all the listeners.
We apologise to no one. Up yours.
Fucking right. Hell.
Listen, the other day I saw this person, and I tell you what, she was doing a punk rock gig. She was playing the bass guitar. Boom, 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 boom. Playing a good rock lick when she was playing it. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I took my Union Jack flag.
On a boat.
I hopped off the boat. I grabbed my Union Jack flag. It became a Union flag as I stepped off the boat as I was getting off.
Thank God.
It doesn't matter because I shoved it up my arse anyway. That's how much I was enjoying this punk rock gig. And then you're never going to believe it. After she was playing the bass, she opened her mouth to sing, and her voice had the most delicious and wonderful cadence. That's right. It was Evelyn A. Raidens.
Apologies for those expecting the Antics Roadshow.
Yes.
Yeah, well, listen up, mate. I'm going to tell you this once and for all. You need to fucking hear it, mate.
My mate is
so punk rock, right? He did a shit, right? And then with Princess Anne, he engaged in some nookie. Yes, that's right. He was fucking engaging in some nookie after he had a shit. Do you know who that was? Engaging in the nookie?
Who was it?
He jizzed on the flag and shouted, "My name's James Wookie." Oh, yeah, you dirty rotter.
Well, you never guess what my mate did.
I don't want to.
Yeah, no, my mate. No. My mate.
I'm sorry. Did he salute the Jack?
Oh, was that?
Was the gig at sea or was it at land?
Yeah, he's on a gig on a boat, right?
Truth
be told, it wasn't very punk rock, right? He was on a cruise. But he got with his parents, so you're not going to turn down a free trip.
You're not going to turn down a free cruise. Why would you turn down a free trip?
Well,
the thing is, all inclusive. I mean, you know, punk rock's only going to go so far, isn't it?
Absolutely, mate.
Hell of a spread.
A deal's a deal. You know what I mean?
A deal's a deal. All inclusive. Bish, bash, bosh. Off you go.
You get to the buffet, you know. You take yours, but then you still spit on the rest. You know what I mean, mate?
Punk rock on a cruise. We apologise to all the other passengers.
Nah, up yours.
Yeah, up yours. That's what he said to the captain. Up yours, Captain. My
up
mate.
Yours, Captain.
Up yours. He's an absolute piece. What's his name?
He is a piece.
It's Reese.
Reese, what a legend. What a pop legend.
I have to apologise to all our listeners and say that concludes this week's Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.